Father, we are ready, Lord, for our hearts to receive your word here today. Lord, we pray that your word would open our eyes, that it would touch our heart, that it would motivate our will. And Lord, that we would take these words and that we would feast upon them. And Lord, that we would be about our Father's business. Lord, we pray right now for Pastor John as he brings forth the word today. Lord, bring it forth in power and might and in your glory. And Lord, let it resonate with us and let it challenge us and let it drive us. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. As people of God, one of the things that we have to do is we have to take seriously the fact that we are in a war, whether we want to be in this war or not. We're in a war, and we've been called to fight the good fight. We've been called to overcome evil with good. We've been called to advance the kingdom of God. And to do this, we need to be forcefully pursuing God and his kingdom. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I talked about, you know, pushing hard after God. I'm sort of going like from there to the next, another level here. And I did use this scripture, Matthew 11:12, that tells us, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men, and of course women, will lay hold of it. And so the question I would have to ask, or we should all ask ourselves, is, are we forceful enough? Do we know what that word forceful even means? It means to be energetic for the things of God, to be tenacious, persistent, bold. It means to be taking the initiative, going forward despite the opposition, courageous, overcoming, pressing on, intense, even relentless. Those are the kind of traits that we would find in the mighty people of God all throughout the Word, and certainly in Jesus himself. And those are also the traits that we would find in a good soldier who is ready to be in the army of God, trained and ready for battle. God wants us to be battle ready. And that means we have to be ready, willing, and able to stand up for what we say that we believe in. God created us to be warriors. Not just any kind of a warrior, but warriors with a heart for worshiping our God. Worshiping warriors. I believe that God has called us to be worshiping warriors. That's what God is seeking. Worshippers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Warriors who depend not on their own strength, but on the strength that comes from the God that we worship. Those are the kind of people who have the mindset that we saw in the Apostle Paul. In Philippians 3:8, he said this, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Paul completely got it. He was able to see past all the enticements of the world, beyond the desires of the flesh. He was ready to give up everything, including his own life. Everything, just for the surpassing greatness of knowing his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one, the God that he worshiped. Paul was a worshiping warrior. God's love was so real to him. God's truth, his word, was so real to him that he would never, ever give up the fight. Remember in Acts 16 when Paul and Silas were stripped? They were beaten with rods. They were thrown into prison, all for driving out a demon out of a young woman in Jesus' name. They put him in the most secure cell in the inner part of the prison. They had their feet in stocks and they were all chained up. And they began to worship God. And as they worshiped him, a violent earthquake happened. And all the doors flew open, their chains fell off, and they were free. They weren't worrying about what was going to happen to them because they trusted in the God that they worshiped. And God took care of the rest. God had their back. This should be our goal, that our worship and our love for God is so consuming that nothing matters more than what God wants. Then we will definitely be ready to stand up and fight for God's truth, for what He wants. So as we move forward and we begin to step out into battle, we can be sure that God will then begin to present many opportunities for us to see His power at work. He will. In Ephesians 5:15, it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." We have to have our eyes open, our spiritual eyes open, and believe that God wants to work through us. And that's then how we will see the glory of God revealed as we respond to those opportunities. So how do we live wisely, as it says, and become this worshiping warrior that can advance God's kingdom and bring glory to His name? We need to recognize the authority of God. We need to walk in that authority, and then we need to proclaim that authority, the authority of who we worship as we go into the fight, as we enter into the battle, into the arena to advance the kingdom of God. Matthew 28:18 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" He's telling them He has this authority. They've seen it in what He's done, how He's taken control over the wind and the waves and over life and death and over sin and over so many things. Philippians 2:9-11, "Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." God is God. There's no one like Him. He's still in control. No matter how crazy we think things are, no matter how far out the world goes, no matter what happens around us, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, God is still God and God is still seated on His throne. He holds everything together by the power of His Word. And we need to recognize and respect that authority. And respect that authority in our life. And in the world. Remember the centurion that came up to Jesus in Matthew 8? He asked him to heal his servant. And I love the soldier's reply. He says in Matthew 8:9, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And I tell that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." He recognized and he respected the authority of Jesus. And I love when it says that Jesus was amazed at his faith. Jesus replied, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very moment. You see, he believed. And if you believe, you see God's glory revealed. Then in Luke 10:19, Jesus makes this amazing statement. He says, "I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. So now he's passing on that authority, he's making that authority available to his followers, to his people, to his ambassadors. And so now what we need to do, the next step, is to walk in that authority, to be under that authority as we walk, as we live and move and have our being in Jesus, to respect the authority of the Word in our life. It's no longer society's rules. It's no longer peer pressure. It's not our heart or our thoughts that should rule over us or dictate to us. That's the normal way of life. We do what we think people want of us, so we'll be accepted. That's not the way of God. Now we need to be led by the Spirit of God and walk and act as somebody who is under God's authority and recognizes that authority. Just as that soldier walked under the authority of his commanding officers. And then our job goes further still, and we must proclaim that authority, the authority of God, the authority of His Word. Because when we worship something, if we truly worship something, guess what? We're not ashamed to talk about it. Are you ashamed to talk about your kids that you're proud of, or a restaurant that you love going to, or a movie that you went and saw? No, of course we're not. And we don't worship them. I mean, we like them. We love them. We care about the different things. But God, who we worship, we need to proclaim His name. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, if you remember, they healed this crippled beggar in Jesus' name. Remember, he's running all over the place and jumping up and down and going crazy, talking about how he was healed. And everybody recognized it. And then in Acts 4, we find Peter and John are teaching the people, and they are proclaiming the name of Jesus as the one who healed this man. It was in his name. It was in his name that this man, before you, was healed. So what happens next? They're seized. They're arrested, and they're taken, and they're thrown into jail. Because the Jewish leaders, they didn't know what to do. They were scared. They didn't want to lose their power. This wasn't what they wanted. They didn't want these guys out there, and they didn't know how to handle them. They didn't know what to do. In Acts 4:17, it says, "But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name," the name of Jesus. "Then they called them in again, and they commanded them not to speak, not to teach in the name of Jesus." So Peter and John said, "Okay, we won't do it anymore. We're sorry." Is that what they did?
No.
But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes? To listen to you or to listen to Him? You be the judge." And they knew what the answer was. So they headed back to the camp. In Acts 4:31, it says, after they prayed, which was they were worshiping God, they spent time worshiping God, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Remember, the walls were shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God boldly. They became even more forceful, even more effective, bolder worshiping warriors. Another thing we need to do to be that worshiping warrior is to have a thankful attitude. Think about what happens when we have nothing but grumbling and complaining and ungrateful people. It doesn't matter whether they're soldiers or workers or even church members. They sow division. They sow discord. They sow disrespect. They have no desire to help, and certainly no desire to fight for those that they serve, that they work for, or who they worship. They just as soon walk away and die in their own desert. That's why God has called us to be thankful. To be thankful to Him, to recognize that He is our provider. That He is God, that He is in control, that He is amazing, that He's awesome, that He's glorious. Someone worthy of worship. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What's God's will for my life? To be thankful. To be thankful for what He's done. To be thankful for what He's doing. To be thankful for what He's going to do. Even when we don't like it. How can anyone truly worship God without being thankful? How could we? How can you worship somebody if you don't even respect what they've done for you, if you don't care what they've done for you? Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Why? So we can worship God acceptably, with reverence and awe. Whew. The more thankful we are towards God about anything and everything that's going on, the more we will be able to worship Him and grow. The more power we'll have. The more authority that will be in our life that we're under and that we can proclaim and walk in. The more thankful we are toward God, the more we'll be willing to defend His interests and carry on the fight. Here's an example in the natural realm, something that I like to do. I go to the gym pretty regularly, I try. And I don't go there to build big muscles. That's not my thing. I go there to exercise the muscles that I do have. I want to keep them tuned up so they're ready to work, so they're ready to function. You know, if you let your muscles go as you get older and you just sit back and you don't do anything anymore, you don't keep those muscles going, your bones get weaker, your muscles get weaker, you get sprains and strains, and every time you turn around, you're pulling something out. So you have to keep it up. And I found out that the more I go, the better I feel. And then, the better I feel, the more I want to go. Well, it's the same in the spiritual, in worship. The more I exercise a worshipful attitude, the more I am in tune with God. The more thankful I am, the more I see God moving in my life. I begin to recognize reasons to be thankful. Yeah, that's God. That's God. That's God. Over and over, we begin to see reasons why we can be thankful. But if we don't look, we won't see it. The more thankful I am, the more opportunities I have for His glory. Because I recognize those things. The more I'm ready to stand up for His truth. For my faith. And the more forcefully I can resist the devil. And he'll flee. And the more I exercise my worshipful warrior attitude, the more I also then encourage others to fight. And then together we advance the kingdom. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is about the power of praise and worship. It's a story about a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. He's one of the good kings in the nation of Judah. And Jehoshaphat had just finished appointing all these judges and priests and Levites and other officials because the land was a mess. And you know, he was putting things back in order. And so he appointed all these people to keep order in the nation. And then he tells them in 2 Chronicles 19:6, consider carefully what you do. He's speaking to those people now that he just appointed. Because you are not judging for mere mortals, but for the Lord, who is with you Whenever you give a verdict, you must faithfully and wholeheartedly serve faithfully and wholeheartedly in the fear of the Lord. And no sooner does he finish doing this good thing, getting all these things in order, than he gets some alarming news. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 2, he gets word. A vast army is coming against you. Oh my gosh. Has that ever happened to you when you make a commitment to God? All of a sudden something starts coming against you? From the other side of the Dead Sea, back in the dead zone, it's already in Hazazon Tamar, that's in En Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. He's going to go to God. What should I do? And he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Well, they did the right thing. So he gets up in front of all the people, thousands and thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people of Judah, and he starts praying. He starts praying his heart out to God. And at the end of the prayer, he says, "We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." He's asking God, "What should I do? God, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do?" So the Spirit of God falls on this prophet by the name of Jehaziel, and he begins to prophesy for the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 20:15, he says, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. Face that battle, face that struggle. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go and face them tomorrow, for the Lord will be with you." So Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some of the Levites from the Kehathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They had a worship service. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And they went out at the head of the army. At the head of the army. The band went out in front. "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." And here's where it gets really good. It wasn't good enough already. This really gets good. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah. And they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies laying on the ground. No one had escaped. It took 3 days for them to gather up the plunder, the booty, the money, the gold, the food, all the different stuff. On the fourth day, They assembled in the Valley of Berica, where they praised the Lord. Another worship service. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem. For the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets and guitars and drums and a keyboard and bass. They had it all. The fear of the Lord came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. What an amazing testimony. Imagine that king got to tell his kids, his grandkids, everybody that. So how many times do you think he told that story? All those soldiers, how many times do you think they told that story? They were all dead, man. We didn't have to do anything. They were all dead. God had them all lined up for us. What an amazing testimony to the power of God that he was faithful to those who worshiped him, to the worshiping warriors who put their trust in him. God was there for them, and God wants to be there for you as we trust in him, as we enter the battle, as we worship him. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. Every one of us has struggles. Every one of us has battles that we have faced, are facing, and will face. Whether it's with our own flesh, others, or the devil himself, it doesn't matter. We will have struggles. God didn't make us to surrender to those problems, to surrender to evil. In fact, he called us to overcome evil with good. That's why he's given us weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And one of those weapons is worship. A worshiping heart, singing songs of praise unto the Lord. Imagine what happens when we sing those songs of praise, when the words in those songs are the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. And when you put it to music, and then you got crowds singing it, there's a lot of power. And we give glory in those songs. We give glory and praise and honor to God. We lift up the name of Jesus. Things are going to happen. I'm sure we all know that the Word of God is called the sword of the Spirit, right? I remember back a while ago, God gave me a vision about something that happens in the spiritual realm when worshiping warriors are praising and worshiping God. As we sing, the words were shooting. In this vision I saw, the words were shooting out of our mouth like a sword, like a powerful sword, slicing through the demonic realm, slicing through the demons, cutting the bonds, cutting the bondages, cutting the chains that have held the people of God back. Cutting right through those demonic strongholds. When we lift up our voice in unity, that power is increased exponentially. It just grows and grows and grows. And the demons will have no choice but to flee. The demons can't stand it when true worshipers are lifting up the name of Jesus. That is torture to them. That is torture to them. There's power in that name. Remember when those demons ran and they were cast into the pigs and they jumped into the sea? That's about how they'll be. So we need to ask ourselves, what kind of a warrior are we? What kind of a warrior am I? Are we part-time? Are we complacent warriors who, you know, like a hired hand, run at the first sign of danger? Or are we that worshiping warrior that is so in love with God that we would be willing to make any sacrifice, just like Paul, who said he was ready to give it up for the surpassing greatness of knowing God? Would we be willing to make any sacrifice to please our God and get the victory that He sets before us. The greater the worshiper, the greater the warrior. We've been called to be worshiping warriors. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for pouring out your love to us, Lord, for helping us understand who you are, knowing who you are so that we can worship you, Lord God. Thank you for putting a spirit of worship upon us as a people, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you are there for us. Lord, I pray that every single one of us, Lord God, every single one of us would grow in our worship, that we would see and understand more and more the authority that you have, Lord God, that you've passed down to us, Lord, and that we now then would take that, walk in that authority, that we would live under that authority, and that we would proclaim that authority to the world around us, that we would help to set the captives free, that we would help to break the bonds, that we would help to set and break those chains, that we ourselves would be set free to overcome every hindrance, every stronghold, every argument, every pretension that has been set up against us and against God's word. Lord, make us all worshiping warriors. Hallelujah, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Amen. Amen.